Great is his faithfulness. Hebrew writer says, do not waver, because he who has promised is faithful. And that's what we do. We live and move by faith, but that faith is in God's faithfulness. My older daughter, Michelle, collects lighthouses. In fact, they have spent vacation time traveling all the way around Michigan, taking pictures of all the lighthouses that are in Michigan. And she has collected duplicates of all those lighthouses. So if you went to your house and her house walks in, you can be guaranteed that your life would be lit up. A house is a lighthouse, if you will. And so there is the aspects of that that you and I consider and realize that those lighthouses are there for a purpose. They have an important purpose of why those lighthouses have been built and why they have been placed where they have been placed, whether it be at Benton Harbor or at Ludington or at Sheboygan or over at Alpena or all around the state. Wherever there is a harbor, there's a lighthouse. And, of course, the purpose of the lighthouse is to point out the fact that there is a harbor there, that those who are out in the lakes and the captains of those ships can know that there is a safe place for them to be able to, if you will, sail into. However, those lighthouses do have a beaming light, bright, direct focus of light, and that light is upon the danger that is also present around those harbors, points out the reefs, the rocks, the stone, so that the ship captain can make sure that he doesn't run the ship ashore. We know that's happened, don't we? I mean, it's just happened in this last year or so, some that ships that had been run ashore. And the point is, I guess, as you and I look at this, as it sends that bright beam of light out there, what it does is it shows the danger. It shows what could indeed be there that could indeed destroy or sink or ruin the aspect of that boat. And many of them have been. So what did Jesus say this morning? With that in your mind, picturing that, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He didn't say you will be. He says you are, talking to his disciples and to those there in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. And let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and then glorify your Father who is in heaven. Think about it. Picture the image in your mind. Have you ever considered your life as a lighthouse? And that you are to be sending forth a bright, radiant beam of light, if you will, out there into the world in which you live in? Are you one when you walk in the room, you light up the room? Or are you one as soon as you walk in the room, it kind of becomes depressing and dark and whatever? And they can't wait till you leave, because after you leave, it lights up the room. I mean, you know. We are the light of the world. What if every Christian recognized that? What if every individual of us realized that you and I are the light of the world like a lighthouse? What would that do to our homes, our neighborhood? And what transition could occur within the world in which we live in today? Do you know that good always prevails over evil? And the old saying goes, the reason evil prevails is because good people do nothing. What are you to do? Let your light so shine before men that they can see what? Your good works. Your good deeds. See your life out there actively making a difference in the world in which you and I live in today. And as they see that, it is indeed reflecting, as you will, the character and the glory of God. Because God is good, isn't he? Every good and perfect gift comes down from your Father in heaven, according to the book of James. There is no shadow or variation of change with him. He is always shining and always the same in his nature. And the Bible says God is good. And Jesus, when he was walking on the face of the earth, your Lord and my Lord, the Bible says he went about doing good. That's what he did. He was going about making a difference in people's lives. He was going about helping and blessing and encouraging and doing things that made a good difference in people's lives. Because in the biblical text, he is the light of the world. Isn't he? So how did he let his light shine? By sitting home watching TV? Is that what he did? What would the world look like if every person that is a child of God was really, truly letting their light shine and going about and getting involved with the world and doing things that makes a difference for good? The resource for that power to let your light shine, however, is not in yourself. It comes from him who is light. Remember the very first command of God in Genesis chapter 1, if you will, in verse 3, what did he say? What did he command? Let there be light, and there was. How important, how essential is light to life? Could plants, could life exist on the earth if the first thing that wasn't created was light? It was essential to it, wasn't it? It was very important that you and I and scientists recognize the importance of light. How many of you have planted any type of plants outside? Or maybe you have some in your home and you have them by a window. And you have them there so that they can get light. What happens to that plant as it begins to grow? It begins to reach for the light, doesn't it? I mean, my mom planted it. I mean, she had ferns, you name it. My mom had it. And that was something I remember mom always saying, the plants have got to have light. And she always had them. And it always amazed me, even outside when you plant your bulbs or whatever, they are going to grow toward the light. Okay? They're going to do that. Psalms 104, verse 2 says, in reference to God, you have covered yourself with light as a cloak. James 1:17 again, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shifting of shadow. When you have light and you have naturally a shadow, right? Don't you? And that shadow, however, what is he saying? God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God is unchanging. And so the shadow doesn't change. It's always the same. And you can depend on that. That's what gives security to your faith, is that you know that God is the same and will be tomorrow just as same as he is today. And the Bible says that God is good. God loves you. God is kind. God is gracious. Every aspect of his nature reveals to us in who he is. 1 John 1:5. He says, this is the message. This is the message we heard from him from the very beginning, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. And so God is that which empowers my life and your life to become light. And that life source is it. You got a battery at home? I mean, a flashlight at home? Huh? Have you? What has that flashlight need? Does it need anything before it can give out light? Well, it has to have batteries in it, right? Or somehow now you can plug them in for a period of time or whatever. Did you know they have now a flashlight that's about that long? Okay? And it has within it one AA battery. And it has an extension off the front of it. And that one little flashlight, with that extension, you can see almost a quarter mile. And it will put a spot of light exactly where you have it pointed to. And if you pull it in, it makes the light bigger. But the narrower it is, the more refined it is, the brighter the light. How many of you like somebody pointing a flashlight and shining it in your eyes? How many of you like that, James? your wife is looking at you. I mean, how many of you like that? Well, how many of you like, you know, you're sound asleep 4 in the morning, maybe it's 7 in the morning, it's dark outside, mom comes in, flips on the light, time to get up, got to get to school. How many of you love the light coming on? Huh? How many of you pull the blanket up, shut the light off? Okay, I mean, how many of you have done that? How many of you have been traveling down the road? I'll never forget it because it really, I mean, I was traveling. My family was with me. We were in Ohio. We were in a back road. I preached a revival down there, not a men's fellowship, and we were moving along. All of a sudden, I saw this car come out of nowhere, and what did he do? He had spotlights on both sides, turned them on, and the other lights come on, and, I mean, that scared the death out of me. You ever had that happen? Yeah. Oh, you have, huh? Well, I had a taillight out, that's all. I wasn't speeding or anything else. I was in Ohio. I was a Michigander. They're going to stop you if they have a reason to, I guess. But anyway, those spotlights came on. They shone, you know, they hit my back mirror, my mirror. It blinded me. I couldn't see. And I mean, I flipped that mirror up as fast as I can. How many of you have been traveling down the road? The sun's shining, hits you in the eyes through the mirror. What do? You turn the mirror, right? Right? So what am I saying? Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because the world hates light. They hate it. Jesus said they would. Jesus made it very clear that if you're a light and you're not going to take your light and hide it under a bushel and you're going to let it shine before men, he said, darkness hates the light. Because what does light do? You see, it can also show you everything that's wrong. Man, I tell you, I just sometimes have a real hard problem turning the light on down in our family room and whatever, because it doesn't matter. My wife is going to see that cobweb. Or she's going to see the bug crawling across the, you know, the rug or whatever. How many of you guys just see all that? Bonnie does. I'm said guys. Most of us are not even conscious of that, are we? You know why the world hates the light? Because the light, when it's turned on people's lives today, shows them for what and how they are living and that it's not right. It's not right, okay? And you got to think and consider that. John says in 1 John, or chapter 1 of John, Jesus, in reference to Jesus, he says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of man. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not." Verse 9 says, "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man." John 14:9 says, Jesus, in reference to Jesus, "He that has seen me," Jesus said, "has seen God." He said that very clearly. And yet Jesus, as the light, is a true reflection then of the nature of God. Right? If you've seen me, you've seen God. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus said, if you've seen me, I am a reflection of him who is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. So if we are the body of Christ, the kingdom, the church, who and what light and what should we be reflecting? Christ. People should be able to see Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that our lives are related to him who is light. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and following. "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." You want your life lit up? That's why Jesus came. Christ came to light up our lives. L-I-G-H-T. And God has shown that light, poured upon your own heart, that you might know God. Because you cannot know God if you're living in darkness. You've got to come out of the light, in order, out of the darkness, into the light to be able to have a knowledge of God. Does that make sense? You understand then why the book of Colossians chapter 2:12 says that when you became a Christian, God transferred you, changed you, took you out of the kingdom of darkness, transferred you over into the kingdom of God's dear Son, a kingdom of light, a kingdom of light. So as the light help beams through the darkness, Jesus turns the beam upon God and reveals the nature of God, the God that I have come to know. There's no way you can know the Father except you have allowed the Son to reveal Him to you. He is the exact representation, the exact express image of the God who is light. And the church, the body of Christ, needs to understand that we are the light of the world. That's what He said, didn't He? A lot of congregations are filled with a lot of darkness. A lot of bitterness, a lot of jealousy, a lot of backbiting, a lot of things goes on that basically is still of the world, of the nature of the world, the nature of the flesh, isn't it? You can all shake your head, yes, okay. I'm not suggesting at all that that kind of darkness is here, but I'm telling you, it needs and must not come here. And if you are the light and darkness is prevailing in your life, then what need you to do? You need to get back into a right relationship with Him who is light so He can dispel your darkness and make you again the tower of light in the world that you live in. That is so important as a husband and wife, isn't it? Isn't it important for husbands and wives as parents to be reflecting God's light to their children? Isn't that why our families are deteriorating within themselves? And when the family deteriorates, what happens to a country? What happens to the culture? It all goes back to the family. Now, you can blame whatever. You can blame the school system. You can blame this. You can blame that. But I'm telling you right now, there's nowhere in the world that God places the responsibility of raising my children up in the Lord in the school system. God said we are to raise our children up in the light. Why? So that they might walk in the light. So as you and I see in John 17:4, if you had known me, you would have known the Father also. From now on, you know Him because you have seen me. The whole world was lost in darkness and sin. But the light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow Him as our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. It was shining for you. Brightly the light has shined upon me. Once I was lost, but now I am saved. Once I was blind, but now I can see because the light of Jesus got turned on. Thank God for the people who turned the light of Jesus on in my personal life. You see, you got to turn the light on. The light doesn't turn itself on. You have to turn it on, right? I suggest to you that wherever you go, whenever you interact with anybody, and when you're ever at workplace, and wherever you go, that you start turning the light on. And whenever you see an opportunity to do good, to make a difference, to say something, to edify, to build up, to encourage, or whatever, and you see somebody in need or whatever, that you would take advantage of that opportunity, because that is exactly what He said. Let your light so shine before men, they can see your good deeds, your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Isn't that what He said? So when Jesus called Paul to become the apostle to the Gentile world, this is what He told Paul he would do. He said, you will open the eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of their sin and the aspect of an inheritance. What did He say? You will turn their eyes from darkness to light. Turn the light on, people, in your life, in your family, in your neighborhood. Let people see Jesus Christ reflecting in your lighthouse, if you will. Because He's the one who empowers us to do that. Jesus said, we, again, are the light of the world. And if God was reflected in Christ, then Jesus certainly ought to be reflected in His body, over which He is the head, over all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. You are not in darkness. But that day, the second coming, would take you like a thief, for you are the sons of light. You are the sons of light and the sons of day. We are not of the night, nor are we of darkness. Romans 13:12, the night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and let's put on the armor of light. An armor shines brilliantly, doesn't it? And an armor will reflect things, won't it, if it's shined up right? And so when we are reflecting this armor, remember in Ephesians 5, it says, put on the full armor of God. And that armor is light permeating through the darkness in which we live in today. Okay? Listen, Ephesians 5, 8, and 9. For you were formerly darkness. You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light consists. The fruit of light, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit, right? The fruit of life consists of what? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's the fruit of what? Light. What is it? Doing good, living and right, upright, being righteous, obeying God. And the aspects of that, of course, is walking in truth. We're to walk in the truth. The darkness that permeated this culture in the very beginning, back in the garden, was when he who is the father of all lies lied. And darkness permeated the world at that point in time, didn't it? Didn't it? And so as you and I are God's people, it says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. What does light do? Exposes. When you turn the light on, you can see things for what it is, right? And when the light of the world came into this world in which he did, he came reflecting the light of God, and people hated him. They hated the light. They wanted it turned off. And I'm sure they thought by putting him on a cross and crucifying him and whatever and doing away with him would end the light. But it was only the glorious beginning. And God raised him from the dead. God has exalted him. And on that day of Pentecost, God began a kingdom of light that you and I represent in the world we live in today. Amen? You and I together are the light of the world. And this world will not know light until we turn the light on. We cannot turn the light by going and taking that light and hiding it under a bushel. It has to be exposed by going out and doing things and doing good in order that people might what? See. See your good works. And therefore glorify God. Now I believe this. This is my little bit of philosophy. I believe we have a problem today in the church. In our personal lives. We're afraid. We're afraid to offend people. We're afraid to offend them. We're afraid to. We're afraid to do anything that people would classify us as being judgmental. We're afraid. We're afraid, if you will, to make people feel uncomfortable. In any way, sort of all. And make them feel anyway, in fact, that we and they would see us as putting them in a position of darkness. We're afraid to do that. You see, when a preacher preaches the word in a little bit of sermonettes and never really turns the light on, he's not only damaging the church, he's damaging the world. Because the only light that's there to permeate into the darkness of this world is the body of Christ. And if we're not turned on, what's going to turn on the light in the world in which we live in today? And we're afraid to do it. We're afraid because we're going to be classified as hard to get along with. We're going to classify. Well, let me tell you something. I'm a preacher in this vicinity, in this area of Lansing, that I'm considered as one who really preaches it and teaches it as it is, and I'm a troublemaker. You know that. I have preacher friends that tell me that I'm not. They could never preach like I do. They could never preach in their congregations the way I preach. Whatever that means. Okay? Whatever that means. I don't know what that means. But I do know this. That churches are being filled with darkness. And the world is creeping in. And while Jesus came to take the world out of us, we've opened the door and letting the world come back in. And yet Jesus said through the Apostle Paul, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so I believe we got a political world out there of leaders who just will not take a stand. And will not stand against the elements of the drifting that is taken away from the Constitution and the principles of right and wrong and human dignity and everything that that Declaration and that Constitution guaranteed every person that lived in this country. And you don't see that Statue of Liberty out there as a light. And when people come to this nation, they want to see and go by the Statue of Liberty. Right? And when I come into an assembly of people, I don't want a fellowship with people who are walking in darkness. I want a fellowship with people who are walking in the light. Amen? I want the light on. I want the light on. Why? Because I want to see Jesus. I want to see Him. I don't want to see the world. I have enough of it, don't you? If you work out there in the workplace, don't you get filled with enough of it? Huh? It's all over us. The world is full of darkness, isn't it? Isn't it? It says, prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. Even on Pentecost, Peter said, you know, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Hasn't changed, people. Darkness always has prevailed. And yet, the light has come. We're a nation and a church that several things have taken place. And I believe the number one real issue that is being done and out there is the sexual immorality that is a part of our culture. And it hasn't escaped from the church. There are so many young men that are in captivity of pornography and whatever. There really are. And the aspects of how that indeed has affected the church. Because it can come into your home through the internet, through whatever. It's there. It's right out there in front of you. It's available anywhere, isn't it? And that's how they sell, don't they? Don't they advertise that way? Well, how about greed? How about people who are driven for wanting more? Wealth, whatever the world may have for. Power, provision, whatever it might be. No matter what the cost. No matter who gets hurt. No matter who I have to destroy, I'm going to get what I believe I have the right to in this life. I just hope you know, as a Christian, you don't have any rights. You're a bondservant. You don't go around declaring your rights. How about pride? You don't think our country right now is going down the drain because we have a man who stands with so much egotism and pride and narcissism in himself that it is literally deteriorating the very backbone of a nation that used to stand for what is right? You don't think that's affecting us? Pride? There's a lot of false sense of confidence in our accomplishments. And what you did yesterday doesn't mean anything about today. I don't care if you hit 4 home runs yesterday, Cabrera. That won't affect what happens in today's ballgame. The only thing might affect if, you know, maybe Kissinger made 2 errors at second base. And if all he's dwelling on is those 2 errors he made yesterday, it could affect his game today, right? Huh? Right? You see, that's what the power of light is. God dispels the dark. It doesn't matter what you lived in and who you were in the past. God forgives it. He removes it. It's gone as far as the east is from the west. What God deals with is today. Every day is a new day of light for you because of the grace of God. Okay? Indulgence, happiness at any cost. Addiction today is on an increase like you wouldn't believe. All the way down to of fourth and fifth grade kids are having drugs and everything else available to them. Slothfulness, laziness, you know, thinking that the government owes us a living. Or one more thing, willing to allow someone else's hard work of sacrifice and giving, and we want a piece of it for nothing. And there have been people who have worked 10, 15, 20 years and lived in whatever in order to get them to a point of security financially. But you shouldn't have to do anything to get that. Those wealthy people out there, we should be able to get a piece of the pie and not do a thing for it, even though they worked and sacrificed for years. Okay? Ungratefulness. That's entitlement mentality. Is when we're not thankful any longer. You know? So overlooking the price that has been paid for freedom and security, that you and I could be here today and share together in the light. Somebody paid a price. Irreverence is all over the place, isn't it? Isn't it? Huh? Lost a sense of what is sacred. Is marriage sacred or isn't it? Huh? What? Yeah. The Word of God, is it sacred? Or isn't it? Is human life sacred? Well, we can abort millions and millions and millions of human life and wipe off their lives because of somebody doesn't want that child or whatever. Sacredness is gone, people. In a lot of arenas of our world in which you and I live in. So why don't we turn the light on? Why don't we become the light? And let our life, our works, our deeds, who we are, so shine before men, and they see our lives, they'll see the glory of God. They'll see the glory of Christ reflected in us. I can't turn that light on for you. I can only turn it on for me, right? 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 God needs us. We're living in a dire time. We're living in a very important, privileged time as God's people, that we can become a light in a world of darkness, and we can make a difference in people's lives. Amen? We can. We can. We can. By the way, I am. I will. I'm committed to that. That's my life. Okay? Because if I hadn't seen the light, and that light hadn't been shined to me through my father-in-law and different people and my wife and others, I'd still be in darkness. I'd still be in darkness. So I'm thankful. I'm grateful to God that somebody turned the light on in my life and helped me to become the man I am today. Amen? Aren't you? Aren't you? It may have been your mother. When's the last time you thanked your mom for being a faithful child of God? Or your dad? Or your brother or your sister? Somebody turned the light on. Somebody turned the light on. So we're going to stand together.